Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Pei Bet Amud Aleph by Shaya Rabbi Kiva Omer. The Mishnah says that Rabbi Kiva believes that not only a dam chatat that enters into the heichal is posel the korban, but any damim of a korban that is brought in the chaper is posel the korban. And the Gemara wants to know the source for Rabbi Kiva's position. Just as background to that, you need to know that in Parshat Tzav, Perek Vov, it says towards the end of the Perek there, by the Be'er Shem El Moshe Le'mor, the Be'er Laron V'Avonav Le'mor, Zo Torat HaChatat. This is Torat HaChatat. So the Parshia, they're speaking about the Chatat and the processing of the Chatat. Then it continues afterwards and says, Ukli Cheres, Asher Tivushal Bo Yishaver. Any korban that is cooked inside of a kli cheres needs to be broken. Be'im b'kli nechoshet bushala, if it was done in a metallic kli, u'morak v'shutaf b'mayim. It has to be cleaned out, rinsed out, to be kashered in order to remove the tam of the korban from the kli, but you don't have to break it, obviously. Kol zachar b'kohanim yochalota, kodesh kodeshim hi. And then the final pasuk here, which is going to be a big part of today's daf, kol chatat. Asher yuva midama el ohel moed, any chatat which you bring the dam into the ohel moed, lechaper bakodesh, in order to provide kapara, lo teachel, it will not be eaten, ba'esh tisareif, it will be burnt. So now that is true of the chatot apnimiot. Chatot apnimiot that are brought into the heichal and are done properly, lo teachel, they're not eaten, and also ba'esh tisareif, they are burnt, they do not go on the mizbeach. They go mechutz lamachaneh, and they're burnt mechutz lamachaneh, with the exception of the emurim that end up on the mizbeach. But the pasuk is darshan here, and we're going to see, to refer to a chatat that is improperly taken into the heichal. And there it says, v'chol chatat, asher yuva midama omoy, any chatat that is brought into the heichal, lechaper bakodesh, as a kapara, to use it as a kapara, lo teachel, cannot be eaten, and ba'ish tisareif, it is pasul. That is the source for the fact that a korban that is brought into the heichal is problematic. The question is, what is subsumed in that pasuk? From the simple reading of the pasuk, it says v'chol chatat. It's only a reference to chatat. So really, the burden of proof is on Rabbi Akiva here. The two things I would note are, first of all, the parshia in the context in which we're speaking is zot torat chatat. It is a parshia that's speaking about chatat, and at the end it says v'chol chatat d'sheivat damai lo moed. The second thing is that in the middle of the parshia there, it spoke about the kashering of kelim with regards to kodeshim that are eaten in kelim. And over there it says, kol zachar b'konim yochal ota kodesh kodeshim hi, which seems to broaden the context of what we're speaking about, and we'll see that later on in the Masechta, that this has reference not only to chatat, but also has reference to other korbanot, at least kodeshe kodeshim. There's even an opinion that it applies to kodeshim kelim as well. But that means that in the middle of this parshia with regards to the chatat, it speaks about more broadly kodushim. That tension is going to feed into the difference of opinion here as to how to read that last pasuk in that parashia in Perek Vav of Vayikra. It says, Shaya Rabbi Kiva Omer, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mashal Lema Davar Dumeh. What is this a mashal like? Meaning, what is the parable that could help us to understand Rabbi Kiva's position? The Talmid Shemazag L'Rabo Bechamin. A Talmid, someone who is in service of his master, whether it's an apprentice, a servant, a student, that is servicing his master, and he is muzeg, he dilutes the wine with warm or hot water. You could either dilute with cold water, or you could dilute with hot water. And he does it with hot water. Ve'amar lo, his Rebbe says to him, mazogli, says to him, dilute for me. Amar lo, bameh. The Talmid, or the servant, responds to him and says, how do you want me to do it? Amar lo, lo bechamim anu asukim? Aren't we in the context of a situation in which we're dealing with doing dilution through hot water? Achshav, now, ben bechamim ben bitzonein. It must be that it's a reference to both hot and cold over here. So, the way that the Balei Tosafot explained it over here, the entire mezogli is lishna di yiturahu. The fact that the Rebbe says mezogli, diluted for me, was completely unnecessary. They were already in the context or in a situation in which he's already diluting the wine for him. He's diluting it in hot water. The fact that the Rebbe says to Mazogli is completely extraneous. Because of that, Balomar, that comes to teach you Urabot Afilutzonei. To tell you, the fact that the Rebbe mentioned something that they're already engaged in indicates to you that he really means more than what they are engaged in. the Baal Tosafot say they're dealing with Mziga, and then the Rebbe says, Mazol Gli. Well, of course, that's what we're doing. Why do you need to tell me to Mazol Gli? That must be a more expansive request or permission to do it, not only Bechamin, but also Bitsune. And similarly over here, the Parshia that we're speaking about is Zot Torat HaChatat. We're speaking about a Chatat. The context of the Parshia is Chatat. So then why in the Pasuk, at the end of the Parshia, right, V'chol Chatat, Asher Yuvah Dama, you could have just said, V'chol Asher Yuvah Dama. Why do you need the word Chatat at all? The context is already Chatat. The fact that you mentioned Chatat indicates that you're giving broader discretion over here, or in essence saying that it's not just applicable to a Chatat, it's applicable to more Korbanot. That's the way that the Baal Tosafot read it. Rashi reads it that it says, Mizogli Chamin. So now, he did not need to say Mizogli Chamin. He had to say Mizogli, dilute it for me, but he didn't have to say dilute it for me in hot water. Because that's what they were doing until now. Until this point in time, they've been diluting in hot water. So when he says to him, Mizogli B'chamin, it's completely unnecessary. He could have just said Mizogli. So Rashi says the unnecessary terminology is the Chamin. Tosafot says the Mizogli period is unnecessary. The Rashi, which seems to fit more along the lines of the Psukim, says that you don't need to say Mizogli Chamin. If he says Mizogli Chamin, that opens up the possibility that you could do more than just Chamin. Because the fact that you mentioned Chamin implies that Zonain is also an option over here. Until now, we were just doing Chamin. And if you just said to Mizogli, we would have continued to do it with Chamin, because that's the context. In fact, now you say Mizogli with Chamin, that opens up the possibility of Zonain. And similarly, in our Pasuk, the context is Chatat. The fact that you say V'chol Chatat, that repetition or that unnecessary mention of the Chatat indicates that now there's more that could be affected here than just the Chatat. Other Korbanot are subject to this din. That's how Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel explained this position of Rabbi Akiva using this Mashal. Hachanami. So now Hachanami, in our case here, Michtei B'chatat Askinan, as we explained along the context of the Parshia, is Chatat. V'ati Chatat, Dichtav Rachmana, Lomali. So then when it says, V'chol Chatat, why is that necessary? That extraneous chatat comes to teach you the din is not solely relegated to the din of a chatat, but also applies to other kodoshim. And as Rashi notes over here, the reason it mentions a chatat, even though it's trying to include other items, is to tell you, tell you that maybe you would think a chatat should not be pasul, because we find manifestations of chatot that end up in the echal, so maybe then a chatot achitzonot should also be ksherim in that case. Law comes the world chatat to tell you, not only are there other kodeshim chapsulim, so is a chatat over here. And that's why he mentions the word chatat twice, even though it's trying to come and include other kodeshim, because you would have a havamina that chatat would have been excluded from this din. So it specifically mentions chatat to tell you not only other kodeshim, but even the chatat is included in this din. Matkiv lo ravuna b'rei de Rav Yeshua. Michde. That doesn't make so much sense. Look at the context there. Itrabu kolo kodeshim. The Gavet Mizbeach, the Indian Marikavish Tifan. This is what I pointed out when we started the daf today, that there are psukim in the middle that discuss the kelim that are used to eat the kodeshim and the kashering of those kelim. And in that sequence, it says, Uklicheres asher tuvashal bo yishaver, Uklinechoshet bushala murak vishutaf b'mayim. That's the reference here to Marika and Shtifa. Kosachar b'konim yochalota kodesh kodeshim hi. From that kodesh kodeshim, it's a rebuy to all kodeshim. So what Rav Huna b'rei d'Rav Yeshua says is the context here is not chatat. The context here is kol kodeshim. Then you have the pasuk, v'chol chatat d'asher yivah midama. It's necessary to say v'chol chatat there because the context entering into this pasuk is kol kodeshim. Chatat dichtiv rachmano lomali. So why do you write chatat after it's referencing to all the kodeshim? Shmamina chatat in mida achrina lo. So that shows you that chatat is a limiting factor, not an inclusive term, but rather an exclusive term, telling you chatat in, not anything else. So now, the machloket really between them is, what is the context over here? Is the context the opening pasuk of that parshia, which is, Daber al Aron v'l'banav le'mar zotorat ha-chatat? So that would be the context. Or is the context the couple of psukim right before it, which branch out beyond the chatat and discuss kodesh kodeshim, other kodeshim as well? That will determine the whole chatat at the end of the parshia, what context is it being written in. If it's being written in a context where all kodeshim are included, that would make chatat an exclusive term rather than an inclusive term. The other hand, if it's already speaking about chatat and the context is chatat, then b'chol chatat would would be more likely to be an inclusive term because it was unnecessary to mention it, and therefore it must be inclusive in nature. The situation here is more like this in terms of the parable, which is you have someone who's in service of his master who does mziga, both cold and in hot, meaning that's like all kodoshim. Amarlo altim zogli elachamin. And then the Rebbe says to him, okay, this time just do it with hot water. That's what it means, b'chol chatat. After you say it applies to all kodeshim, now you say, oh, this next din only applies to chatat. That's like saying, okay, now just do it with chamin. So then that upends this explanation of Rebbe Kiva. At the time of the Rebbe Kiva, this is the reasoning behind Rebbe Kiva. It says, mechatat v'chol chatat. It's a ribu in the pasuk. The pasuk says chatat, and it says kol chatat. The kol is a riboy to include more than just the chatat. The Tanya, we have a braita that backs up that explanation. Chatat. Ein li ala chatat. I only know about a chatat. Kodshei kodeshim minayin. How do you know this impacts on other korbanot? Not just a chatat that are kodshei kodeshim. Talmud Lomar, kol chatat. That's a riboy. And then kodshim kalim minayin. How do I know that affects korbanot that are kodshim kalim as well? Talmud Lomar, vichol chatat. The vav also. So you have a vav, then a chol. And then the chatat. So the vichol is a riboy that extends the reach of the chatat, tibri Rabbi Kiva, that's the view of Rabbi Kiva, that's the explanation of Rabbi Kiva's position in our Mishnah. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi Hagilili, afilu ata mirabe kol hayom kulo, eni shomei lecha. You can come and include anything you want, you can make all of these drashot, and I'm not going to listen to you, because it's incorrect. Ella, this is the way to read it. Chatat, ein li ala chatat yachid. I only know about a chatat yachid. As Rashi notes over here, and what's clear from the Pesukim over there, all the parshiot there are parshiot of korbanot yachid. Because we dealt with, right before that, an asham. An asham is a korban that has no application by the tzibur, has application by the yachid. So all the parshiot there in Tzav that deal with the processing of korbanot, they're dealing with korbanot yachid. Chatat, olah, shlamim, and the asham, all are korbanot yachid. So if I just read the pasuk b'chol chatat d'sheyuvad midama, I would have thought it's speaking about a korban chatat yachid. Chatat tzibur minayin. How do I know this also has application to chatot tzibur? Tamalomar kol chatat. That's what the riboy is. The riboy is to include other types of chatot. Ein li ela zachar. I only know about chatot that come from male animals. Chatat nekeva minayin. How do I know it applies even to chatot that come from female animals? Tamalomar vichol. That's the extra vav. And again, that's a riboy. Mar says, kalpe layo. You got it all backwards. That makes no sense. Because the primary chatat, a chatat yachid, comes as a nekeva. So just as some background, a chatat yachid can come as a nekeva, and it can come as a zachar. Primarily, it comes as a nekeva, that's a chatat yachid, that either comes from a kifsa or a se'ira. On the other hand, there is se'ir hanasi, which is the one korban hayachid or chatat yachid that comes from a male. On the other hand, all the chatot etzibor come from zicharim, come from males. So now over here it says, ein li ela chatat zachar. I only know about zicharim. Chatat nekeva minayin. How do I know about a nekeva? Well, if you tell me that the context of the psukim here is a chatat yachid primarily comes as a nekeva. And the way that this is structured should be just the opposite. It should be more obvious that a chatat nekeva is included in the pasuk, and you should need a riboy for zachar. That's what the Mar says, El Haki Kamar. Enli ala chatat nekeva. Only know about a chatat nekeva. Chatat zachar minayin. How do I know that zacharim are also included? Tamalomar v'chol chatat. That's why you have the riboy of v'chol chatat. Even with this emendation of the Gemara, it's very hard to understand. You have here a sequence that says, primarily, I think that what's included here is a chatat yachid. The first riboy includes chatot etzibur. The second riboy comes along and includes zacharim. Well, if you already included chatot etzibur in the second riboy, you already included zicharim. Chatot etzibur only come from zicharim. So then why do you have any safek about zicharim going forward if you already included chatot etzibur? By definition, if you're bringing chatot etzibur, you're bringing zicharim. So you can see that question in the Balei HaTosafot. He says it's very hard to understand the girsa that way we have it. And he says, I would have preferred ivav garsinan ipcha necha. Had this whole thing been flipped around, it would make more sense to me. Now, he doesn't flip it around, he just notes it. But if you look it down in the Shita Mikubetzet, Ot Chavav, he actually lays out what the Balei Tosafot want the Gemara to read like. And that is, Ein li ala chatat nekeva. I only know about a chatat nekeva because a chatat yachid, the primary chatat yachid, comes as a nekeva. So if I look in the parshiyah here, I would have thought about a nekeva. Chatat zachar minayin. How do I know that it also applies to male korbanot? Talmud Lomar kol chatat. That's a riboy. Einli ela chatat yachid. That's only with chatat yachid. Ube yachid nami ika zachar kugon seir nasi. The zachar that you included was the seir nasi. So those are chatot yachid. So chatot yachid I included nekeva. Now I included zachar. But those are all within chatot yachid. Chatat zibur minayin. Then you ask, where do I know the chatot zibur? V'chol chatat. That's v'chol. Because then the riboy brings in the chatot zibur afterwards. So that's what the Balei Tosfot meant. If you flip the girsa, that would make a lot more sense here in terms of the sequential. Otherwise, it doesn't make so much sense. You already included chatot zibur, and now you're asking me about zicharim. Chatot zibur or zicharim. The Yeshiva Mikubetzet after that offers an alternative explanation according to the Girsa of Rashi. Rashi. If you have to deal with the Girsa that's in our Gemara, which is the Girsa of Rashi, then this is what you need to say. Chatat zachar biyachid minayin. Tzibur shiny dolef shani keva behen. The question of the Gemara in the last sequence is, I have chatat yachid, then I have chatat tzibur. Now I said, oh, that's nekeva, where do I get zachar? What do you mean, where do I get zachar? You already have chatat tzibur. Chatot Tzibur aren't a proof about anything. Because by Chatot Tzibur, there's only one type of korban, that's the Zachar. I want to know, by Chatot Yachid, does it apply to Zacharim as well? There you have different Chatot Yachid. You have some Chatot Yachid that are Nekevot, the majority. That's a Korbanot Yachid. And then you have a Chatat Nasi, which is a Zachar. So that's what it's coming to say. The Reboy is not a Reboy from Zacharim in general. It's Zacharim by Chatot Yachid. In that way, he tries to salvage the girsa that we have in our Gemara, that's the girsa of Rashi. The Gemara then continues and says, "V'savar Rabbi Yosef Galili, haikro lehochi hu da'ato." This is what Rabbi Yosef Galili thinks we do with this pasuk. V'hatanyo. Don't we have a bright that Rabbi Yosef Galili darshins this pasuk completely differently? Rabbi Yosef Galili omer, kol ha'inyan kulo means this pasuk of chol chatat asher yuvah midama lo moed chaper b'kodesh lo te'achel ba'esh tisarei. It's a reference to the Parim and Nisrafim and Sirim and Nisrafim, which we found at the beginning of Ezehu Mekoman. That includes the Par V'Seir Sheyom HaKippurim. That includes the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor, the Par Kohen Gadol, as well as the Seir L'Avodah Zarah. All of those are Parim and Nisrafim and Sirim and Nisrafim. Lisrof Sulehem Abeta Bira. To tell you, when something goes wrong with them, you burn them in the Mikdash itself. V'Lamod B'lota Se'al Chilato. To tell you that there's a restriction against consuming such korbanot. Now obviously you can't consume these korbanot because they're not eaten, they're put on the fire. But normally, and you remember this from earlier in the Masechta, when we have Parim Nisrafim, Seirim Nisrafim, Par Seir of Shel Mikippurim, you put the damim internally in the Echal and all the places that they need to be put. After you're finished with that, they're taken Michutz Tamachaneh. That's Michutz L'Shlosh Machanot. And they are burnt over there by Esh Tisareif. They are burnt outside the Shlosh Machanot on a pyre outside. What Rabbi Yosef Galili comes to say is, that's true when they're Ksherim. When they're Ksherim, you put the Damim in the Echal, the Kodesh, Kodeshim, whatever is relevant for each one of these Korbanot. Then you take the carcasses out of the Shlosh Machanot. That means in the time of the Mikdash, Michutz Yerushalayim. In the Mikbar, it means Chutz Machaneh Yisrael, and you burn them there. Now, if you're going to burn them, obviously you can't eat them. So there's an Iser Asay, because you're supposed to burn them, so you can't consume them. What Rabbi Yosef Galili says is, there's two things that come out of this pasuk over here, and that is, if you're doing any of the Parim Nisrafim, Sirim Nisrafim, lo te'achel, you may not eat them. Now we know that the din with regards to them is that they are Nisrafim, that they have to be burned. But that only generates an Iser Asay. There's an Asay to burn them. A derivative of that is now there's an Iser to eat them because you must burn them. But that's an Iser Asay, and an Iser that derives from an Asay is an Asay. But over here, we're not only saying it's an Asay, there's also an explicit Lo Taseh Lo Te'achel, that you may not eat them. Now there's an Iser Lav associated with eating them. So the Lo Te'achel comes to teach you no matter what, whether you are Mechaper, or whether it fails, Lo Te'achel, you can't eat it. In addition to that, it says, Bekodesh Lo Te'achel, Ba'ish Tisareif, and Rashi reads it as Bakodesh Ba'ish Tisareif. If there is a problem Bakodesh, if there's an issue in Kodesh, means there was a psul that happened over here, Ba'ish Tisareif, you must burn it there on the spot. So Rabbi Yosef Galili learns from this, and we're going to learn this later on in the Masechta, that there are actually three different areas where there's a Beit HaMoked. There's one in the Azara itself, there's one in Har HaBayit, and there's one Mishchutz L'Shlosh Machanot. So if the Korban was kosher, we would take it Michutz L'Shlosh Machanot. But if it goes pasul, the azara, then it's burnt inside the azara, and that's what this pasuk is teaching you. If it was a psul that was after it was yotzei mi'azara, but then it would go on the beit but okay, that's in harabait. Here, where it went problematic inside the kodesh, then you have a requirement to burn it on the spot. So that's what you learn from the pasuk. B'chol chatadash yivu demal omoed lechaper b'kodesh. If you're doing any of the parim nisafim, sirim nisafim, lo te'achel, you may not eat them. Now there's an isur lav associated with eating them. If there was b'kodesh, there was a problem. Ba'ish tisareif, they're burnt on the spot. So that's what Rabbi Yosef learns from this pasuk. If that's true, he can't learn anything from this pasuk about bringing dam into the heichal. Amr lo chatat shenichnas damah lifnai v'lifnei minayin. So then what's the source, or your source, for the fact that if you bring a korban chatat achitzona into the heichal, that that is pusel the korban? Amr lehen, I learned that out from the story in Parshat Shmini, when Moshe is trying to figure out why Aaron HaKohen allowed the Seir of HaShchodesh to be burnt. And over there he asks them a series of questions. One of those questions there in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud is, Hein lo huva damah lakodesh pnima, achol tochlu ota bakodesh kasher tziveti. If the dam was not brought in to the heichal, then why didn't you eat the korban like you were supposed to as kohanim? I told you that even though you were onanim, nevertheless, you eat the korbanot over here. And, hein lo huva damah, the dam wasn't brought into heichal. Implying, had the dam been brought into heichal, that would have been a good enough excuse to burn it. Or, I mean, that would be the right thing to do is to burn it there. So he learns that out from there. So now, if that's Rabbi Yosef Lili's source for it, then why is he giving us a drasha in the pasuk that is found in Parshat Tzav? So my answer is the Dvarav de Rabbi Kiva Kamar. He's saying this in the words of Rabbi Kiva. So if you go back to the Braita, now you understand what he means in the Braita. Amar lo Rabbi Yosef Lili, afilo atame rabbe kol yom kolom. You can do all the somersaults and all the gymnastics you want to do. I don't think this pasuk has anything to do with the chatat achitzona that was brought inside. That's in Perek Yud. That's not in Perek Vav in Parshat Tzav. And even in your own shita, let me tell you it's wrong. Because if I was to be merabe something, I would not be merabe other kodoshim. I'd be merabe within the world of chatat to say not just a chatat yachid, chatat tzibur, not just nekeba, even a zachar. Now the Baal Tosafot question over here, Rav Yosef Lili just before said that you need all these multiple ribuim to include chatat. Now he tells us the source for chatat is one pasuk in Parshat Shmini, en luvad demai la kodesh pnima, there's no ribuy. There's only one statement over there. So where does he know all these other things? Chatorat tzibur there, because it's a sirash kodesh. That's a chatorat tzibur. How do you know chatorat yachid? How do you know nefkeva? How do you know all these other items if there's no ribuy? He was the one who said, even according to you, Rabbi Kiva, we need these ribuyim for the chatat itself. How can you have a single pasuk that teaches all of these items? The Baal Tosafot leave that as a tzarech iyun, the gavei Rabbi Yosef Lili. But if you look at Neshit Mekubetza in Ot, Chav Zayin, he answers, Yishlamar Mekoshekein, Tolomatzinu Echsher Bifnim Liyachid. He says it's a Koshekein because we never find any Chatat Yachid that is brought or processed in the Eichal. So he says, if the Pasuk tells you by Seir of Ashkodesh, had it been brought into the Eichal, it would have been Pasul, and that's a Chatat Tzibur. Now Chatat Tzibur doesn't enter the Eichal except for Parim Nisafim and Sirim Nisafim. But at least it's a manifestation of a Chatat Tzibur inside the Eichal. And nevertheless, it is pasul. So if that is pasul, then certainly a yachid, which never has any manifestation inside of the eichal, that would be pasul if you brought the dam inside. So that's how the Shita Mekubetza gets around that problem. The footnotes over there on the Shita Mekubetza say, maybe not so, because we have the par Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, which is par Yom HaKippurim. Is a part of the Kohen Gadol. It's a part of Yachid that is brought into the Eichal. So that's not true that we don't ever have a Yachid. So he says that might follow the Shita that the part of Kohen Gadol is not a part of a Yachid, but rather a part of the Shutafim. It belongs to the Kohen Gadol as well as all Echav HaKohanim. And they really are Shutafim in the Korban. It's not a Korban Yachid per se. And therefore you can still make the Kal V'chomer of the Shita Mekubetzet. Okay, now we begin the next Mishnah. Chatat Shekibel Dama B'Shnei Kosot. You had a chatat where you did the kabbalat adam into two separate kosot. Yatzachan mehen chutz. One of them left the azara, hapnimi. The one that stayed behind is kasher, and you could put it on the mizbeach and discharge the obligation vis-a-vis the korban, and it'll be a kosher korban. Yichnasachan mehen lifnim. On the other hand, if one of those kosot went into the heichal, Rabbi Yosef Lili machshir bechitzon. He says, the one that didn't go into the Eichal, you can use that on the Mizbeach, Achitzon, and discharge your obligation. Chachamim, Puslim. On the other hand, the Chachamim think it's Pasul. So Rabbi Yosef Lili believes that just because half the Dam went inside doesn't Pusel the other half of Dam. We'll explain why in a second. If we believe once the korban is pasul because the dam went inside, doesn't matter that there's dam outside. The dam that went in was pasul the whole korban. I'm Rabbi Yosef Lili. Now he's going to bring his proof. Ma im b'makom shemachshava pasul b'chutz lo atzata b'shuyar kiyotzei. So now there are four contexts that are going to be mentioned over here in the Mishnah, and you need it in the Gemara as well because we're going to go over this a number of times. And that is that if you have a machshava of chutz le'mkomo, machshavet chutz le'mkomo, which is when you have in mind to bring a korban outside of the location where it's supposed to be processed. Machshavet chutz le'mkomo affects things when you think about doing them outside the Azara or outside of Yerushalayim, depending on what you're thinking about. But that's chutz le'mkomo. If you think about doing it in the Heichal, that's not called chutz le'mkomo. So that's the first thing you need to know. Psul machshavet chutz le'mkomo only has application with regards to things that are outside, not things that are inside or internally pnim. The second thing you need to know is, when dam is brought into the Heichal bifnim, it is pasul. Dam that is taken out, yotze, outside of the Azara, that dam is pasul, but it doesn't affect the korban as a whole. It doesn't ruin the korban necessarily. So those are the four different pieces of the puzzle, and we're going to spend a lot of time on those four different pieces of the puzzle. The first of which is, machshavet chutz le'mkomo, with regards to michutz, outside, taking the item outside, and then the other side, which is machshavet chutz le'mkomo bifnim, thinking about doing it in the Eichal, and then actually taking it into the Eichal. So keeping that in mind, what Rabbi Yosef Lili says, ma im b'makom shemachshava poselet b'chutz. When you have a place where machshava does have impact, that means outside the Azara, if you kodesh kodeshim, you thought about eating the basar, michutz le'mkomo, outside the Azara, we thought of putting a murim on the mizbeach, michutz la'azara. Those are all chutz le'mkomo, they would be pasul. Lo asat mishuyar kiyotze. On the other hand, if you took the dam outside, as we said in the Mishnah, everybody agrees that if you have two cups and you took one cup outside, the residual cup is fine. Over there, it doesn't make it pasul. Makom she'ena machshava poselet, bifnim, a place which is bifnim in the Eichal, where machshava has no impact. I mean, if you thought to eat the korban in there or process the korban in there, that's not a psul of machshavet chutz le'mkomo. Enu din shelo naseh et mishuyar kenichnas. That certainly the residual should not be affected that which is going in. So what you see from here, or the Kal v'chomer that Rabbi Yosef Lili is trying to develop is, let's look at yotzei. By yotzei, we already have a paradigm that yotzei, if one of the cups goes out, the other cup is kasher, then the same should be true bifnim. That if one cup goes in, the other cup should be good. And he does it through a Kal v'chomer, which is, machshevet chutz le'mkomo effects when you go out. Nevertheless, when one dam goes out, the other dam is kasher, then bifnim, where machshava has no impact, and certainly where one dam goes in, the other dam should be kasher. That's the view of Rabbi Yosef Lili, and we'll discuss it in more detail in a braita in the Gemara. Nichnas lechaper, if he goes in with the intent to do kapara, afa pi shelo kiper pasul. Even if he never succeeds at doing whatever he was planning on doing with the dam inside the Eichal, nevertheless, it is pasul, because he entered with the intent to do kapara. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ad shechaper. Shimon says, there's no problem until you actually accomplish the kapara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imich nishogeg kasher. If he went in unintentionally, then it remains kasher, implying that if he went in intentionally, it would be problematic. Kol adamim psulim shenatanu agav mizbeach. All dam that is pasul that ends up on the mizbeach lo hurtza atzitz ella ella tamei. The tzitz doesn't help you out in order to bring mitzui over here. Only things that are tamei does the tzitz help out with. Shetzitz miratze ala tamei or ala tuma veinu miratze ala yotzei. The tzitz takes care of tuma. It doesn't take care of yotzei. We're going to learn that in the Gemara in Menachot when we get to the sugya by tefillin and deal with tzitz. There it says that it's miratze alavon hakodoshim. And the Gemara darshins over there, all sorts of miutim and definitions that tell us that it's only referencing to tuma and tumata kodoshim that the tzitz is miratze. So when it comes to the damim, even though we have a principle, imalu lo yerdu, which means if those end up on the mizbeach, we're not going to make you take it down. But as far as ritzui is concerned, the tzitz is not miratzeh, the korban is not miratzeh. They have the ability that the mizbeach will be kolet and keep the item on the mizbeach, or allow you, if you put the dam on the mizbeach and the korban ends up on the mizbeach, that it will remain there, but it doesn't allow for ritzui, and ritzui of the tzitz only works by tumah, is only able to overcome the issue of Tumah. So now the latter half of the Mishnah we're going to discuss in tomorrow's daf. Today's daf is going to focus on the first part of the Mishnah, which is the machloki between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim over here. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kal v'chomer, Uma b'makom shemachshava poselet b'chutz, in a case where machshavet chutz l'mekomo applies, that means outside the Azara. I'm just going to use outside the Azara as an example. It could be outside of Yerushalayim for some of the korbanot, but let's just say outside the Azara. Lo pasal dam shivchutz et shibifnim. Yet when dam goes out there, it does not ruin the dam that was left inside. Makom she'ein machshava poselet bifnim. A case where in a echal, if you have a machshava to take the damim in there, it's not pasul, it's not chutz l'mekomo. Einu din shelo yifsol adam shibifnim et shibachutz. And certainly the dam that was taken into the echal should not affect the dam that was left outside. So amrulei, the chamim respond to him and say, Hari Umer, the pasuk says, "Asher yuva mi dama, afilo miktzat dama." Rashi says it's from the word mi dama, from the dam. It doesn't say et dama, but rather mi dama. So mi dama means afilo miktzat dama. Even if a portion of the blood ended up inside the hechal, it's posel the korban. Chukatay asher yuva mi dama, mi dama. Any of that dam ends up inside, it ruins the korban. So there we have a pasuk that gives us that definition or gives us that answer. That when you bring the dam inside, it is posel, even though you're right, mikav chomer, or logically it wouldn't have dictated that way. Nevertheless, the posuk tells us that when you do it, it does have that impact. Amar lahem, so now Rabbi Yossi Aglili flips the kav chomer in the other direction. As the Bali Tosafot point out over here, many of the Achronim point out here, and in the subsequent pieces of the Gemara, there are pirchot to these kav chomers, there are ways to undermine the kav chomers. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi Aglili presents them. As Rashi notes over here, Rabbi Yossi Aglili never said any of this. Because if you go look in Torah Kohanim, about the machlok between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim, none of this exists over there. So what Rashi says over here is the Gemara is putting these words into the mouth of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Because the truth is that these questions are questions of Rabbi Yossi Aglili himself, not just on the Chachamim. Gemara, in a didactic method, does it by making it a conversation between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and puts these questions or these words into the mouth of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. He says, Amar lahem, kal v'chomer liyotzei. Now if you flip it the other way, me'ata, uma b'makom she'ein machshava poselet bifnim. By the echal, where machshavet chutz l'mekomo has no impact, posel dam shibifnim et shibachutz. Over there, if you took dam inside, it affects the dam that is outside. Makom shemachshava posel et bachutz. The case where chutz l'mekomo applies, meaning chutz l'azara, where it applies, enu din shivsol dam shibachutz et shibifnim, and certainly the dam that took was taken out there should affect the dam that's left on the inside. So I failed the kav chomer to tell you that when you take it in, that it should be affect the stuff that was left behind. You're telling me, no, it does affect it. Well, if that's the case, then dam that was taken out, when you left some behind, the dam that's taken out should ruin it for everything, mea kav chomer. Amru lo, hari omer, asher yuva, hanichnas posel, veina yotze posel. It's a diuk out of the Lashon here, which is kochatai, asher yuva mi dama. Things that are brought in are posel. Things that go out are not posel. Meaning that the only case where mi dama, where a portion of the dam is impactful, is yuva, when you take it in. But when you take it out, a portion of the dam will not be impactful. On the other hand, the simple reading of the Gemara is that, or the way the Gemara reads it, asher yuva. Things that are brought in cause problems. Things that go out don't cause problems. Utei. So now he says, okay, now you have two things. Let's use the Kavachomer this way. Tei machshava bifnim poselet. So now let's say that machshev chutz l'mekomo should have application by the Echal. Mikavachomer. Ma b'mekom shelo pasal dam shibachutz et shibifnim. Where you took dam outside from two kosot, the remaining kos behind is still kasher. Nevertheless, machshava poselet bichutz. So nevertheless, the machshev chutz l'mekomo of outside the Azara does have impact. Makom shepasal dam shibifnim. Et dam shibichutz, the place where, if you took the dam into the echal, the residual dam that was left outside would become pasul. Einu din shidei machshevet poselet bifnim, concerning the machshevet chutz l'mekomo, should impact that which is going on in the echal. Hari Omer, the pasuk says, Bayom hashilishi, makom mishehi mishulash behem babasar, ba'imurim, it has to be something that is triangulated, which means that it applies to all three items. Dam, Basar, and Imrim. The drasha we saw back on Chavtet Amud Aleph. Gemara learns from Bayom HaShlishi that has to be Makom Mishulash. Rashi over here, as well as Rashi back there, explains that is only outside the Azara. And that is because Bizman Heter Abamot, outside the Azara, was Kasher Ledam. It was Kasher Lebasar. and it was kasher the emurim. So there was a point in time where that was true, and because of that, that's the area where machshevet pigul has application. Both chutz l'zmano, chutz l'mkomo have application over there, because b'yom ha'shlishi is extraneous in the pasuk in Parshat Kiddushim. From that we learned it has to be a makom mishulash. If you remember, the Baalei Tosafot back on Chavtet Amud Aleph disagreed with Rashi, and over there brought a large number of options as to what the drusha is, including a drusha that is just the opposite of Rashi's drusha over here, from Rav Yosef Tovi Leim, where he says, Rav Yosef Tovi Leim Mefaresh, Makom Mishulash, Hainu Sheyachshov Lizrok B'Makom Shedam U'Basari Morim Psulim. You have to have Makshava about a place where all three of the items are Pasul. Kagon, Makshav Lizrok Kodashim Kaleim Chutz Yerushalayim. Aval Makshav Lizrok Bi Yerushalayim Lo. Tein Shum Psul Basar. Kodashim Kodashim Afil Bi Yerushalayim. Given the Bezah Makom Shloshtam Psulim Sham, since that's a place where all three of them are Psulim, then you can have a Makshev and Chutz Nimkomo. That's not true of the Heichal. It's not Pasul, at least for Achilat Basar, inside of the Heichal. Rashi back there, on Daf Chavtet Amud Aleph, says that the Heichal, you cannot eat in the Heichal, and therefore it's not a Makom HaMishulash. You're not allowed to eat the Basar and bring the Emurim in the Heichal. Baalei Tosafot over there point out that our Gemara we saw later on tells us that the Kohanim in an emergency situation can eat in the Heichal. So there is Achilat Basar, and therefore he brings this to Rav Yosef Tevi Leim that explains just the opposite of Rashi. You need a place that is pasul for all three items. The only place that's pasul for all three items by Kochim Kalim is outside the Azara, and Kochim Kalim is outside of Yerushalayim. But in the Eichal, that's not pasul, because you can eat the basar there. It's not pasul for all three of them. So once again, Zera Takatu. A pasuk that tells you, number one, when you bring dam inside, it's posel the korban, even if it's a portion of the dam and the remainder of the dam is outside. Number two is, when you take dam outside, it's not posel the remainder on the inside. That we learned from the pasuk. The third thing now we know from the pasuk is machshevet pigul only applies to chutz, does not apply to the heichal. So all of these are from gzerot hakatuv, and they don't allow for the kal v'chomer that is being proposed over here to come to fruition. So now the Gemara continues. Belo dei machshava poselet b'chutz mikal v'chomer. So then machshava should have no impact b'chutz from a kal v'chomer. Uma makom shepasal dam shebifnim et shebachutz in the heichal, where if you take dam in there, it ruins all the damim that are left outside. Ein machshevet poselet. Over there, the machshava doesn't do any psul bifnim, because there's no machshevet pigul by the heichal. Makom machshevet pigul machshevet chutz l'mkomo by the heichal. Makom shlo pasal dam shebachutz et shebifnim, in the area outside where if you took the dam out there, it doesn't affect the residual dam. Ein udin shlo posel machshava bachutz, and certainly the machshevet chutz l'mkomo should have no impact over there. Tamalomar, that comes from the pasuk, shlishi, chutz lismano, pigol, chutz limkomo. So that's actually a limud from the pasuk in Parshat Tzav. So in the pasuk in Parshat Tzav, it mentions both pigol and shlishi, and we learn out from the word shlishi, chutz lismano, and from the word pigol, chutz limkomo. And then the word shlishi that we brought before, makom mishulash, is from the shlishi that's found in Parshat Kiddushim. So this drasha follows that opinion back on the Gemara on Chavchet Amud Aleph, that the pasuk and tzav is finger on both chutz lismano and chutz limkomo. And then the shlishi that is mentioned in Parshat Kedoshim is to learn out makom amishulash, to teach you that only in a makom mishulash does this have application, does not have application in places that are not makom mishulash. And that's the distinction between chutz lazara versus lifnim in aichal. And that's how now we get the fourth din that we have here. Again, Gzeret HaKatuv, that Machshevet Chutz Limkomo affects items that go outside of the Azara. So that's the closure of this piece about Rav Yossi HaGlili and his attempt to make these Kal V'Chomers. Chamim retort in each of the cases that there's a Pasuk, or limit from the Pasuk, that tells us otherwise. Alright, the Gemara continues now, and it says, Basar Hayotzei Lachutz Pasul. Basar of a Korban that leaves the Azara, Pasul. Hanichnas Lifnim, Basar that goes into the Echal, Kosher Shehebedin. Once again, it's a Kal V'Chomer. Shepasul. It should have been pasul when you take it into the Eichal. Ba'am ha-makom shelo pasal dam shebechutz et shebifnim. In a location when you go chutz la'zara, where the dam that's taken out there does not affect the dam that's remaining inside, basar yotzei l'chutz pasul. Nevertheless, basar that goes out there is pasul. Makom shepasal dam shebifnim. The place where the dam that's taken bifnim affects et shebechutz, that which is left outside, basar nichnas bifnim enu din shi pas ipso. concerning the basar that's taken in there should be pasul. Hari Omer, the pasuk says, midama. Midama, velo basar. Truth is that the word midama appears twice. It appears once in the pasuk of Chukadah, Shavuah, midama, elo moed, chaper b'kodesh. It also appears in the pasuk in Parshat Shmini, where it says over there, hein luva et dama. So you have the word dama appear twice. So the second one, or the extraneous dama that is mentioned, comes to teach you dama, velo basar. Din of nichnas le'echal bin pusel, only has application by damim, does not have application with regards to basar. Kal v'chomer, me'ata. Now you can make a kal v'chomer in the other direction. Here, where, if you take dam into the echal, it's pusel, the residual dam that's left outside, basar nichnas lifnim kasher, but basar taken into the echal is no problem. When you leave the Azara, when the blood leaves the Azara, it does not affect the blood that's left behind, then basar yotzeichutz enu tinsha kasher, then certainly basar that leaves the Azara should be pasul. Here the Gemara says, Hari Omer, ubasar basadeh treifa lo tochelu. So the word basadeh is extraneous in that pasuk. It should just say, basar treifa lo tochelu. Don't eat a treifa. What is basar basadeh? Basadeh chazal dashin from that, Kevin sheyatzav basar chutz mechitzato ne'asar. Anytime basar leaves the confines in which it is found, it becomes pasul. Sadeh is a reference to a location, a placement. If it leaves the place or location that it's supposed to be in, it becomes pasul. It is a broad restriction against anything that leaves the confines in which it's supposed to be done. Basar belongs in the azara. You take it out of the azara, that's basadeh. You violate it. Taking it out of its confines or its context, that's where the basar is eaten, and therefore when it's taken out, lo tochelu, you can't eat it anymore, it becomes pasul. So there's a pasuk that tells you that. The Gemara in Chulin uses this for an animal that you shech and has a fetus inside the animal. If the fetus is entirely inside the animal, then it's kasher with the shechita of its mother. That's what otherwise is known as a ben pakua. If that animal had any limb that was sticking out at the time that you shechted the mother, that limb broke its mechitza, and that's considered to be basar basadeh treifa, lo tochelu. You can't eat it, it's not mutar, you did the shechita of the mother, and then you can't do a shechita on the baby, because it doesn't need shechita, and that becomes a problematic piece of the animal. So that's where we learn it from, basar basadeh treifa, lo tochelu. Or, Rashi says, v'o nafkalan, mehein lohuva etama, ela kodesh penima. He says that we also learn it out from the pasuk that says, that you do not bring from the dama, ela kodesh penima, amar lehem. Shema yichnastem lifnim. Maybe you took the dam into the heichal. Amalei hein luva dama elakodesh pnima shechul lechitz mechitzata yatzta. Amalo pnima haita. In that conversation that the Gemara says went on between Moshe and Aaron over there, it says hein luva dama elakodesh pnima. He breaks it down into two questions. One is hein luva dama pnima. The dam wasn't brought inside. Or he says, well, it wasn't brought inside. Maybe it went outside. Then he says, no, elakodesh pnima. It was also always inside. So there also you see that if it's, as long as it's inside, it's kasher. Had it gone outside, it would have been pasul. That's another possibility about the source for the fact that basar that leaves the azara is going to be pasul for kodshei kodashim. Kodshim kalim, it's basar that leaves Yerushalayim, will be pasul. Now Gemara says, Tanra banan, pnima. The pasuk says, hein lo huva etama elakodesh pnima. Blood wasn't brought into the kodesh. Pnima, einli ela pnima, heichal minayin. Pnima sounds like the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So now the Kodesh HaKodeshim, if you bring it in there, it's pasul. How do I know that if you bring it to the Kodesh into heichal, it's also pasul? Tamalomar ela Kodesh, goes into the Kodesh, ela Kodesh pnima. Yomar Kodesh, vayomar pnima. Why don't you just say Kodesh, and we would have known it references the heichal, and then you wouldn't have to mention the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Why does it mention Kodesh HaKodeshim first, pnima, and then you build on that and say, oh, Kodesh means heichal. So Rava Bazev Limedozeh says one of them teaches you about the other. Had you only had the word Kodesh, I would have said the word Kodesh means Kodesh HaKodeshim. So along comes Pnima and tells me that's Kodesh HaKodeshim. Well then, what is Kodesh? Kodesh must be the Eichal. So one teaches you about the other because whenever you have a Pasuk and you have a Din, you're going to go to the least Chidush. Least Chidush over here to say the problem is only in Kodesh HaKodeshim, not in the Kodesh. So that means that if I only had the word Kodesh there, I would assume the reference to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Now that I have the word pnima, it opens up the possibility that the word kodesh doesn't mean kodesh kodeshim, but actually means the kodesh itself. He says, midahaba toshav sachir, similar to the din of a kohen with regards to truma. With regards to a truma of a kohen, his family eats the truma, his children eat the truma, his wife eats the truma, and his Avadim HaKnanim eat the Truma. And that is because anything that is a Kinyan Kaspo of the Kohen, including his wife, the Avadim, the Shvachot, Knanim, they all eat from the Truma. On the other hand, an Eved Ivri, which is not a Kinyan Kaspo of the Kohen, they do not eat from the Truma. Now, there are two types of Eved Ivri. There's an Eved Ivri that is there to work for 7 years and goes free. Or there's a Nirtza, an Eved Ivri who has his ear pierced and stays there until the Yovel. So now the Pasuk says that the two people cannot consume Truma, are not parties to the Kohen to eat his Truma. That is a Toshav and a Sechir. So the Gemara says about that, the Tanya, Toshav. Toshav is a reference to Zekah Nui Kinyan Olam. That's an Eved Ivri that has ear pierced and staying till the Yovel. Sechir, Zekah Nui Kinyan Shanim. That's an Eved Ivri that's there to work for 7 years. Yomar, Toshav. If you told me that an Eved Ivri that is there until the Yovel doesn't eat Truma, Vayumar Sechir, you don't need to tell me Sechir. Vayani Omer, Kanoi Kinyan Olam Eino Ochel, Kanoi Kinyan Shanim, Lo Koshekein. If the Eved Ivri, who is more like a Kinyan of the Kohen, doesn't eat Truma, then certainly the Eved Ivri that's less like a Kinyan doesn't eat Truma. Where it says, Ilukein, Ait Omer. Because if that was the case, I would have said, Toshav, Zekinoi Kinyan Shanim. Had it not written both Toshav and Sechir in the Pasuk, just the word Toshav, I would assume that the word Toshav references to an Eved Ivri, just a regular Eved Ivri. That's why he doesn't eat. But one that stays to the Yovel, that has Nirtza, he does eat Truma. Aval Kanui Kinyan Olam Yeyuchel. Bas Sechir V'limed Al Toshav. That's why I have two descriptive terms over here. I have a Toshav and a Sechir. Shezeh Kanui Kinyan Olam, Zeh Kanui Kinyan Shanim. Because then I have the availability to include both types of Eved Ivri, in essence to exclude them from the possibility of eating Truma. Because I have two words. One to mention the one that's Kinyan Olam. Now that I know that there's Kinyan Shanim, I also know that the Kinyan Olam is problematic. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says, that's a nice thought, but Pishlama Hotam, over there by the case of Truma, Trey Kufei Ninu. Those are two different people. There's an Eved Ivri, a regular Eved Ivri, and there's an Eved Ivri that's Nirtza, that has ear pierced and staying to the Ovel. They're totally different entities, totally different types of people. Vavagav Dabalei Kura, Lemechtav Nirtza, Lo Yochal. Well, the Pasuk could have just written the word Nirtza. Why did he write Toshav and Sechir? If you wrote the word Nirtza, I would know that you're speaking about a Kanoi Kinyan Olam. That he doesn't eat Truma. V'idach Ati B'Kavachomer. And then a Kanoi Kinyan Shanim would have come out of a Kavachomer. Milta Ati B'Kavachomer. Torach V'Kotav Lakra. Something that you could have learned from a Kavachomer. The Pasuk goes sometimes out of its way to write it, despite the fact that you could have learned it from a Kavachomer. Elohocha, in our case over here, by Hain Lo Uvad Dama Pnima, over there you don't have this option. Kaven the Ifsal Be'echal. Once the item is pasul in the Kodesh, then why do you need to tell me about the Kodesh HaKodeshim? The only way to get access to the Kodesh HaKodeshim is to go through the Kodesh. So once the Kodesh is pasul, why do you have to tell me about the Kodesh HaKodeshim? It doesn't make any sense. The Kodesh HaKodeshim is not meaningful over here because it's really a subset of the Kodesh of the Echal. Once the Echal is pasul, then the Kodesh HaKodeshim obviously is problematic because you pass through the Kodesh to get to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So if that's the case, why do I need two words over here? Why do I need Kodesh? And why do I need Pnima to tell me this? It's only because you're coming in an indirect manner. As Rashi says over here, the definition of the word Mishupash is Shalo Kedarko. Not in the normal manner. Kagon Derech Gagim Aliyot. That you went through the roof. Or you came from the attic. Beit HaMikdash Bululim. Through the sunlight, or the holes at the top of the roof, the way the Bali Tosfot explained it over here, is that's where the workers enter to clean out the Kodesh HaKodeshim. They entered in a way from the top, and with their backs facing towards the Aron, so they wouldn't be Nene from the Aron. All of the things that are described about those workers that went into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but there they entered without having to go through the Kodesh. And so here you can have a manifestation or a case where you come in without going through the Kodesh, and that's why you need both the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because there are sometimes there are ways to get access to the Kodesh HaKodeshim without actually going through the Kodesh beforehand. That's one explanation. The Bali Tosfot bring additional explanations as to what Derech Mishupash is. One of them is the possibility that you went in through one of the side doors instead of going through the front door. Other possibility is that you went through the lul. Remember we discussed today, Ezum Wakaman, about opening up the possibility of Shechting Kodeshim Kalim behind the Heichal. Because that's Petach Omoei, because there's a lul, there's a small opening over there that allows you into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So that's another possibility of entrance. Or the possibility that you walked in sideways, that Tosfot says, because it says, Hein Luhuva, Ba'a, or Bi'a. You have to enter It's only the way that you enter that it's problematic if you go to the Kodesh. But it's not normally the way that you enter. I mean, either walking sideways, you go through a side door, maybe over there the Kodesh won't be posel, and only the Kodesh HaKodeshim would be posel. Whatever it is, there are ways to get into the Kodesh HaKodeshim without going through the Kodesh.
And even though you could have learned this from a Kal Vachomer, which means that if you know that the Heichal is posel, then certainly when you take it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, it should be posel. That, Rashi says, is not a problem, because that you can answer the same way answered before, which is even though it comes through a Kal Vachomer, Torach Mekotav Lakra. Post went out of its way to write it, even though you could have learned it from a Kal Vachomer. But if your only access to the Kodesh HaKodeshim is through the Heichal, then it would not be necessary at all to write Kodesh HaKodeshim. And that's why we have to find a way to get into the Kodesh HaKodeshim that circumvents the Kodesh, and that's why we need the Kodesh HaKodeshim to be written in that instant.
Amar Le Rova, Va'avokti Vei. Wait a minute. It says, Hein Lohu Va'atama. Only when you go in, Derech HaBa'ah, Derech, the normal way to enter, will it be Pasul. If you go in through any of these sideways or these other entrances, it's not going to be Pasul. Amar Rova, Komidei Dechashi Vilei Lifnei V'lifnim, Lom Nifsal Be'ichal. If you're intending to take this Dam into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Kodesh doesn't have impact on you.
And that is actually a derivative of the fact that it tells you that when you take it to the Kodesh HaKodeshim, it's Pasul. If it's telling you that, there must be a possibility of that. And that possibility is borne out by a case where you intend to bring it in the Kodesh HaKodeshim.
I mean, it has to do with your intent. If your intent is to bring it into the Echal, the Kodesh will ruin it. And then you don't need to know about the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because by definition, going to the Kodesh will be Pasul. But if you intend to take it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Kodesh has no impact on it, because it says there, and the pasuk that we have in Tzav says, when it's brought in to do a kapara, as a kapara in the Kodesh, that's where it's impacted. But if the kapara is to be done by Kodesh HaKodeshim, then the Kodesh doesn't affect it, because you're not intending for kapara in the Kodesh.
And in that way, Rova is very similar to the opinions in our Mishnah that say that only when you go in the chaper, it doesn't have a problem, or only when you accomplish kapara does it have a problem. And that we'll deal with a little bit in tomorrow's daf in defining what are the reasons behind those opinions in the Mishnah.
If you take in the Parim Dabash of Tzibur, or the Seir Avodat Kochavim, which are Parim Nisafim or Seirim Nisafim, which dam should go into the Echal, but should not go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Only the dam of the Parim Seir Shom Mikvarim go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, not the Parim Nisafim, Seir Nisafim. What's the din over there? Mi Arminin Ela Kodesh Pnima, Koheka Dekrina Ela Kodesh Krina Ela Pnima. The Pasuk says Kodesh Pnima. And we said Kodesh refers to the Echal, Pnima refers to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So maybe there's a parallel between them. Something that's Pasul when it goes into the Echal is also Pasul when it goes into Kodesh HaKodeshim. If it's not a problem to take it into the Echal, it's not a problem to take it into Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Parim and Nisrafim and Nisrim and Nisrafim, which when they go into the Echal are not Pasul, because that's where they belong, then maybe even when they're taken into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, they're also not Psulim. Oduma Shalobim Komanu. Or maybe still that's out of place. Their place is in Echal. You take it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you're out of location. That's going to be Poselit. Imtim Salomar, and this is the sheet of the Rambam, when the Gemara says Imtim Salomar, this means this is the way they're paskening, and you can see that here, the oath of the Ein Mishpat is there, Shalom Bim Komanu. Even if you want to say that Shalom Bim Koman, if you take the Parim Davshut Tzibur, the Sira of Odezara, and you take them into Kodesh Kodeshim, it's Pusel them, because that's Shalom Bim Koman. Parim Seir Shiyom HaKipurim, so they belong in the Kodesh, they belong in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, their dam is brought into all these locations. So what happens? Shizami Daman Al Badim. He did the avodah already in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, ve'otzi'an le'echal, and then he took the dam out of there to do them on the parochet in the echal, ve'chichnesan, and then he brought them back into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Mao, what's the din there? Kiyamrin and makumam hu. Do we say that it's their place? I mean that the parents here shall keep bringing their dam is taken into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, so there's no problem. You take it back in, there's no issue. Odil maho v'nafak nafak. Or maybe once you've already discharged your obligation, lifnai v'lifnim, when you take it into the Echal, it's no longer permitted to go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And if you take it into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, it's Chutzim Koman, and it will be Pusel the Korban. The Imtim Salomar, once again, the Gemara here concludes, Ho'il v'nafak nafak, that once you've left, you've left. And that means if you go back into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, it would be Pasul. Hazami Daman ala Parochet. If after he did the Ben Abadim, he came out and he did the Matnot Dam on the Parochet in the Echal, Ve'otzio l'mizbeach, and then he went outside the Mizbeach HaZahav, because that's the next location where you have to do the Matnot Dam, is that you have to exit from between the Parochet
and the Mizbech Zav and go out to the other side of the Mizbech Zav. And there you do the Matnotam, the 7 on the top and the 4 on the Karnotam Mizbeach. And then Mechnisan. And then he takes them back in to the other side of the Mizbech Zav, meaning further into the Kodesh, back into that area between the Mizbech Zav and the Parochet. Mao, what's the din? You're still in the Kodesh. Either side of the Mizbech HaZahav is still the Kodesh of the Eichal, and you haven't changed locations, so there shouldn't be any Pasul. Odilma Yitziyah Karinan Bay. The Torah says, V'yatzal Mizbech, that you go outside, meaning that you're leaving the area between the Mizbech HaZahav and the Paroch, and going outside, meaning the other side of the Mizbech HaZahav. It calls it Yitziyah. Calls it Yitziyah means that you've left that area already. If you go back to that area, maybe it is Pusel. That the Gemara leaves as a teku, as an unresolved issue. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Pe Gimel Amud Aleph.